Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to Get the Table, another wrestling roundtable discussion podcast with myself, Adam Wilborn, and one of the Dadley Boys, Michael Hamfler from What Culture, here to discuss another burning wrestling issue. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we review Raw, SmackDown, the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, pay-per-views, we have interviews, more roundtable discussions like this one, and a roundup of the week complete with a bigger quiz, of course, on Wrestle Culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamfler. And, sir, we are gathered here. We are socially distanced here today to talk about, well, something that will ruin that intro of mine in the next few weeks. That is NXT leaving Wednesday nights and heading to Tuesdays instead. We sort of knew this was inevitable. This is a podcast we've kind of covered in advance of this news on numerous occasions. It's official now, though. There was a WWE press release a few days ago. They are moving there from the 13th of April, also announcing that they have signed an extension to their contract with USA Network, which was due to expire later on this year. This is, of course, not because of AEW, but because of, hang on, let me check this out here. I don't know, some hockey bollocks, but we knew this was coming. But your reaction to the news initially?
I wouldn't say surprise because of almost like the soft run-up we were given. As you kind of alluded to there, there was deals in place with existing, and let's be honest, way bigger and more important sporting leagues than World Wrestling Entertainment, that was going to see NXT shunted from its place on Wednesday night. In the context of the Wednesday night war, just from a wrestling point of view, I'm all for AEW claiming victory and saying whatever they really want about this, because WWE certainly did that about the Monday night wars. We had enough DVDs and documentary series and everything like that where they just kind of made stuff up about how they went about winning the war. So I'm kind of all for AEW claiming this as a scalp of their own. I'll say this, as much as I'm not surprised it has happened, I think I imagined we'd be back in the office before NXT was back off Wednesdays.
Yeah.
So I guess that it's managed to actually come around before we have been able to gather here today to talk about it has, I guess, taken me by a bit of a surprise. Blah, 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 blah. Boring, boring, boring. It's better for the fans. Like, an element of me will miss the war narrative. It could be obviously pretty exhausting at times, and it did by necessity, I guess, like develop a little bit of tribalism between various sides, and I think that'll dissolve slightly in the aftermath. But yeah, from a wrestling fan admin point of view, it is probably for the best. Like, I'm not so arsed about there not being wartime wrestling. It's more just that you can space your viewing out a little bit in the week, and you probably get the chance to watch things with a bit more of a breather.
Yeah, I mean, it's a real blessing in disguise for us. Obviously, now we get Raw on Mondays, NXT Tuesdays, Dynamite Impact Thursdays, SmackDown Fridays, pay-per-views over the weekend. It is non-stop, and I kind of like that organisation for it all, and particularly will enjoy the extra hour I get to have in bed on a Thursday morning, so I don't have to watch back-to-back Wednesday Night War shows. Now, we know why this is happening, of course. WWE pointing to the NHL, etc. They insist in this press release of theirs that by transitioning NXT to a Tuesday time slot where WWE has performed well in the past, we are giving our passionate fan base more of what they love with back-to-back nights of exhilarating live programming. And they boast about viewership and demos and blah, 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 blah. We in reality know why this is happening, but why is this happening now?
Why is that happening now? Beyond the NHL, beyond USA Network knowing probably what's best for what audience to protect the most.
Well, yeah, I would do you think it's just everything is converged together of like, you know, they haven't won a cable rankings thing since December 2019. Yes, they've had the odd weeks where the numbers are bigger and demographics, and I'm not asked about that and I don't really want to get into it. But yeah, what is it? Or just everything's converged at the same time? Like they needed a reason to get away from Wednesday nights in reality, and the NHL is just sort of landing in their lap a little bit with this? Or what do you think?
I think that's a more comfortable truth for them to deal with than the other one. I think the idea of this NHL thing making the move an inevitability is an easier one for them to have to think about than the reality that this might have eventually happened out of other necessities, out of the fact that they were getting handily beaten every week. Whether or not NXT has started to feel like over the last 2 years in the middle of the war, it's not outlived its purpose, but its purpose appears to have changed and nobody can quite figure out what that is. So maybe moving that to a different night of the week, they're going to be able to find their purpose as a brand again for NXT. They've gotten a deal off the USA Network. What we don't know, of course, obviously the move has been necessitated by hockey, but what we don't know is if WWE weren't prepared to compromise with the different night of the week, if USA would have said, well, on this show, you're going to have to take your business elsewhere. We pay enough for Monday Night Raw. We're not prepared to pay any more for your third. Those are the kind of conversations that we'll never be privy to, unfortunately, as to just how much compromising had to be done by WWE to sort of accept this, or for them to just think, we're kind of rolling a four with this deal as it is. Best to keep rolling a four than gamble and roll a one and just get booted off it outright. So that's intriguing in and of itself. But yeah, like in terms of it happening now, it's probably ideal for WWE that it happens now rather than say in the summer, because it's WrestleMania week. Conversation is predominantly on WWE. They've been able to shape a takeover around the change where you've got night one happening on the last Wednesday of the war. Then you've got it taking place on a Thursday. And then on that Thursday, they can say, oh, by the way, come back next Tuesday. You know, there's not a lot of time to think about your scheduling. The much oft joked about aging demographic haven't got to double check their TV guides to see when their favorite show is moving to a Tuesday. It's moving next week. You know, you're being told kind of right now that you've got a takeover, and then that's it. That's your lot on a Wednesday night. So it's probably going to give them a jump start. It's probably going to give them the best possible opportunity to make Tuesday night a success. And I think they need that as well, because from within the wrestling bubble, it's really hard not to go into starting this on Tuesdays on the back foot and thinking we're here because we've lost a war, not because of other reasons. So if they can treat this as an opportunity rather than an enormous setback, it might actually be, I don't know, a bit of an infusion of energy for the show. It might be wrestling is a show that never ends. It hardly ever gets a restart. You kind of have a bit of an opportunity for a restart here.
Yeah. Before we get on to the sort of future of NXT there, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was the fact of this move for them is not just, like you say, beneficial for them, because it's like the post WrestleMania is kind of season, as sort of the season premiere for Raw and SmackDown. You know, WrestleMania is in effect a season finale for main roster WWE, even if they don't really present it as that, and they inexplicably say, oh, this random episode on September is a new start of a new season. Like, it never stops. Before we get onto how this is going to affect NXT going forward, we've speculated on this in the past, but how will this affect AEW?
Well, it's arguably the biggest question of all of this, to be honest. I'm sure this will piss off anybody that's listened to this, hoping to hear us just talk about NXT. But how this impacts AEW is probably the most intriguing question at this point. What we can guess from scant evidence that we've had, but some evidence last year, is that when NXT moves nights, its audience moves with it. So NXT has found a couple of different baselines on Wednesday nights, the 600s, that sort of, occasionally more, occasionally up to 700, but it's found a baseline. We seem to be aware that they will move with NXT. And perhaps if you're a wrestling fan and you have nothing else to watch on a Tuesday night, now you'll find time for NXT where previously you might not have done. Previously, you might have watched Dynamite and then thought, oh, I'll get around to NXT in the week, and then not bothered. And that'll be lost forever. You might now find time for your Tuesday night NXT fix. Can the same be applied to AEW? that's what we now get to see. It's going to be fascinating to see this show run unopposed, Dynamite run unopposed for the first time in its life outside of a couple of special editions. The original Dynamite, I'm pulling figures out my arse a little bit, but the original Dynamite did around 1.6 million. Mm-hmm. And then obviously it gradually decreased. And then it probably got into a loop of between, what, the high sevens and 900,000 most weeks. Yeah. There, like once, twice, it broke the million. The million is just this figure that people have invented it, that it needed to break. But we've kind of monitored how often it's broke a million, and it's not been that often. And TNT said they needed 500,000, so we can call Dynamite an unqualified success. However, it is interesting now to try and see where AEW's ceiling is. There is no longer, let's be honest, WWE's cynical attempt to try and take some of their audience, to try and divide some of the Dynamite, the AEW audience's attention. That isn't there on a Wednesday anymore. So if, for example, we have 6 weeks of AEW unopposed and they're still hitting the numbers they're hitting now, is that going to be considered a bit of a disappointment? Is that going to be considered a bit of a failure? Is that going to reveal that all along, AEW found its audience, found its tribe, and that number wasn't going to be affected by quote-unquote opposition? It's interesting to me that NXT for the longest time now has barely been considered opposition by those of us in the bubble, and yet we look at AEW's number and think, oh, if only NXT wasn't there, AEW would do such a bigger number. Are we having our cake and eating it there? You know, like, I'm really, really curious to see. It could be a huge spike. We could see AEW pass a million every week because at least, I don't know, 200,000-300,000 NXT fans are going to think, yeah, I'll watch some wrestling on a Wednesday night as well. Raw was horrendous. I've enjoyed my NXT. I'm going to watch AEW too. Maybe the bigger questions will be if they don't. If those numbers don't increase, just what was NXT's impact on that show all along?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, talking about NXT, and I have enjoyed the conversation on social media, not really having a, you know, a side that I support between AEW and NXT. I enjoyed both shows. I think both of them get unnecessary flack, both shows, in my opinion. You know, I think there was a trend of hating on both, alternating between AEW and NXT for a long while. And I think it's unnecessary, unquestionably. You can enjoy both and you can laugh at both when fans sit there and go, well, I don't know why you're saying AEW's won. NXT's moving because of hockey. Yeah. And then, like you say, if the numbers don't improve, you know, what will the excuses be for, you know, and people talking about, oh, well, Alvarez's ratings, and oh, he never mentions demographics, or he does mention demographics, or he doesn't mention excuses, and he does. I just couldn't care less, if I'm perfectly honest. But thinking about the future of NXT, a few months back, we praised NXT because they'd seemingly, whatever you want to call this war, they'd seemingly given up on it in terms of like hot shot and stuff, and being like, 8 title matches in a night and we'll do all this mad booking and hoy main roster people on it. Do you think the booking will change again? Because it's been a bit iffy, I think it's fair to say, over the last few months. But yeah, like you say, with this, especially with this almost hard reset of NXT by moving nights, do you think things will improve? And certainly, do you think people's perceptions of it will change? Because it's not greatly discussed on a Thursday morning outside of selective bubbles because of Dynamite. And I admit to myself that I sometimes sit there at 6 o'clock on a Thursday morning, oh, bloody hell, having watched Dynamite, which I've enjoyed, but it's kind of drained me of my, you know, analytical wrestling brain to then have to watch another hour and it to be more WWE themed rather than AEW themed, however you want to perceive that. I don't know. I don't enjoy it in the same way anymore. And there have been times during this Wednesday night, well, where NXT would be the first thing I'd watch and I'd feel the same way about AEW. But yeah, how do you see this affecting the future of NXT?
Well, I mean, this is it. Obviously every viewer experience is different. And, you know, my subjective one is mostly pretty similar, really. I remember for the longest time I would watch NXT first, probably well into the middle of 2020, until it felt like I was being emotionally abusive towards myself to do that. I was watching NXT first or watching NXT live sometimes and thinking as a wrestling fan, as a very devoted wrestling fan, oh God, I wonder what's happening on Dynamite. Oh, this is like my mind would be allowed to wander from something boring NXT and I'd be like, oh, I wonder what's going on Dynamite. And that's a problem of NXT's making, of WWE's making. They elected to make fans choose. And ultimately, AEW won out in that regard. I think that's evidenced by the fact in this crowdless era, as you see, you have to, like, I wouldn't normally put a lot of credence in these terms. When crowds come back, I'm going to try not to. But we've had to spend a year basically looking at things like engagement on Twitter, on, you know, like how much Reddit pays attention to particular things off shows, what things are gift, you know, like all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't buy it, honestly, but we have to use something right now. Without noise, without ticket sales, without etc. AEW's got that corner of the market sewn up. That is evident. Wednesday, Thursday morning, whatever, people are making their choice over and over and over again, and it's never NXT. So from a perception point of view, I would expect that to swing in NXT's favour a little bit on Tuesdays. I think, if anything, the WWE loyalists that will watch anyway, that 600,000-ish that have stuck with NXT during this Wednesday Night War, will be thrilled to have a night that is all their own. Will be thrilled to be laughing. Like if it was this week, for example, right? You've had Raw on Monday have The Fiend look like a lobster. And then they're going to have NXT as a contrast to that. NXT is going to be like going to Disneyland or something. It's going to be a dream destination for your pro wrestling after seeing a lobster on a swing on Monday. So it's going to actually benefit from the comparison instead of being hurt by it, which is what it's had for the better part of 2 years, you know, for basically since January 2020, there's kind of been no looking back for NXT. So I think perception of it will improve. An issue they've got to address, and I'm not so sure how Night of the Week is going to help this. They need now that NXT is an island again, now that NXT is alone again, they need to figure out what it is. And they need to be clearer about that as well. Is it a proven, quote unquote, proving ground for 38-year-old wrestlers that you sign that shouldn't need to go to your proving ground, but a proving ground for guys that are all eventually going to get called up? Is that up-down thing going to stay in place where you get called up to SmackDown or Raw or you go down to NXT? Or is it going to be continually presented as a third brand? And if so, can you justify some of the kind of developmentally matches, the sort of not rubbish, but the sort of fresh out the performance center matches? Do you not then need?
Would allow when it was on weekly on the network, basically.
100%. 100. You knew what it was. You absolutely knew what it was. Of course, there would be incredible matches, super indie main events, stars. Yeah, of course, there would be all of that. But you knew exactly what it stood for more than anything else. I don't think that's ever really been clear in the Wednesday Night War era. By design, I don't think WWE wanted that kind of confusion in the marketplace. So they just wanted a show that could compete with AEW. They looked at what probably was their most credible brand and thought, well, we're not going to switch Raw or SmackDown, but NXT is sort of perfect for this battle we're going to try and wage against this nascent company. Now that's over, they've got to think about what it represents, what it stands for. If it is a youth movement, if it is a developmental, make it look more like youth movement. And with apologies to Adam Cole and Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa, sorry, you signed WWE contracts, like off and make it on the WWE main roster show. Like, not to be awful too, like, do that or get off the pot, you know?
Yeah.
I genuinely feel like that's been something that NXT has trapped itself in, which is to create an inadvertent glass ceiling that is filled with wrestlers you love. This is not like, oh, I can't get a push because Vince McMahon's, I don't know, a Lars Sullivan is on top of it or something. It's like, I can't get a push because Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole are there. And people love Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole. So it's kind of a bit of a catch-22. You know, back in the days of main roster raiding NXT, you'd be sad for like a week. You're like, oh no, there goes Asuka, for example.
Yeah.
Fine example. God will miss her. What a title run. And then all of a sudden, within about what, one takeover cycle, you're on to the next. You're on to the, like, four new women that have come up in her absence. You've got a Shayna Baszler that's kind of become a direct replacement, and on it went. Did it with tags, did it with women, did it with the men's division. NXT had that. A lot of them don't work on the main roster, but that's somebody else's problem, you know? I think they kind of need to be clear if you're one or the other. If you're a third brand, get in the superstar shakeup. Get people from Raw, SmackDown to become regulars. Stop that crack, because it can't be a one-way exit path out of NXT. There's got to be people that have got to come in on a regular rotation to just make the show feel as different as Raw and SmackDown need to be every 6 months or so.
Yeah, and I'm not saying hoy in half the stars you've got on Raw and SmackDown, you're not doing anything with, because then you are getting into WWE CW territory. But yeah, I feel like if you're not doing out with Ricochet, why not have him back on NXT? Because he's mint and he could do great stuff and he could, you know, be involved in some amazing matches. So I'm hopeful. And this the refresh of NXT that Movie Nights hopefully will have. Although I say that all the time with the main roster. I'm like, well, when crowds come back, maybe. Oh, no, it's just still the same. And finally, this sort of relates to what we're talking about there. A lot of people talking online about Triple H off the back of this, and there's jokes and there's speculation and there's rumours and innuendo and whatever you want to say. But what does this mean for Triple H's reputation? Because we've noticed certainly what appears to be Vince's meddling in NXT far more over the past 12 months to 18 months from when this all sort of began. But, you know, we always talked about how NXT was not a stepping stone in terms of he's just like doing this as a means to an end. He clearly loves what he does in NXT, but we all sort of saw this as a natural progression for Triple H. Do you think this loss, if you want to call it this, on a Wednesday night will affect how he's perceived by the higher ups within WWE?
Yeah, because I think it already has. You know, let's talk about Triple H's reputation, right? There's going to be a lot of, the mutant is probably the easy go-to word here, isn't it? There's going to be a lot of WWE mutants that still feel like Triple H is this god-like figure, is everything precious about pro wrestling and all that sort of stuff. Equally, and just as much of a challenge, are the likes of us that are ensconced in the bubble. And I don't just mean myself and you. I mean everybody that follows wrestling like devotedly through social media channels, watches everything, tries to keep up on all the news, the whole deal. Like, we're kind of both in opposing bubbles where between us, we're, oh, Triple H is finished. He is done, loser. And then on the other side, you've got, oh, Papa H, thank you so much for creating NXT UK. You have made a vibrant scene even more brighter. Like, we're both wrong. We're both wrong is the point. You know, the middle is probably always going to be where it sits. However, the evidence that we here in the cocky, for knowledgeable bubble can use is that Vince McMahon has kind of reversed course on Triple H as his successor. The worst talent development guy in company history is back in the job in John Laurinaitis. The man who did such a bad job, we were told for years and years and years, that Triple H had no choice but to create the original version of NXT to try and salvage WWE's talent development, has got his job back at Triple H's expense, and the main roster is now filled with guys who were peaking in the decade gone by. Edge, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre. Like, all of these names, all great, by the way. This is not to drag any of them, but none of them are NXT guys that came through Triple H's expensive gym. They were guys that were already there before the WWE, for various reasons, has gone back to or has gone to use again. And so, you know, and there's more examples to follow too. So I'd say, whilst he won't worry about what we think of his reputation, we are allowed to make that assumption that he's not as popular internally as he might have been in terms of a potential successor. As a booker, and strictly I say this as a fan, bookers have runs. We're all kind of, there's a sizable portion of the community at the moment that are in mourning and have been for the better part of the year that Gedo's is over in New Japan. Mm-hmm. You know, that run feels over. And Triple H's has felt over for, I would maybe say, from Rhea Ripley holding up that women's title was the end of Triple H's booking run. And some would argue that's generous. But that night that in December 2019 when she held up the NXT women's title, having defeated Shayna Baszler, was maybe Triple H's last great moment as an NXT booker. The run's over. Maybe a creative reshuffle. Maybe he's moving to a Tuesday night. He's always going to be his own Vince and his own miniature WWE on NXT. But maybe it's time to let a few more people in the room. Maybe Shawn Michaels can only teach intense looks and staring at your hands to so many people before you kind of get a bit bored of the act. You know, with our very, very best wishes to the Road Dog and hope for a healthy recovery, maybe the fact that for short term at least, his voice is going to need to be replaced in that room is a good thing.
Mm.
You know, not that I'm wishing ill health on anyone, just that like somebody else's voice other than the same one for the last year and a half, maybe that's no bad thing. You know, maybe this is an opportunity for a like productive and constructive reshuffle. Of course, Triple H is going to be a topic, but maybe you can just look elsewhere for ideas, guys, and different voices, and maybe that'll help NXT find a new like internal voice that isn't Triple H's, because if it still is, it's been flat and flavorless for about a year, and he seems to have run out of good ideas, and that's fine. He should toast his good run and ideally see that it's past tense good run and give it to somebody else.
Very interesting to see what happens next, though, as NXT leaves Wednesday nights and goes to Tuesdays, not just for NXT, of course, as we alluded to there, but for AEW as well. Let us know your thoughts on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. Watch there, you can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
You can follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to WhatCulture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts, including our previews and reviews of NXT and AEW, which will, of course, keep going when all things change post-WrestleMania. Very busy week coming up, Michael Hamflett. Keep your diary free. But for now, this has been Get the Table. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.